All right, everybody, welcome back into Mining Stock Daily. We're kicking off this week with a corporate update from Heliostar Metals, a much needed corporate update. It's been a long time since we've had CEO Mr. Charles Funk onto the podcast. They do trade on the venture with HSTR and on the OTCQX with HSTXF, and the company is one big step away from building that incline for the Annapolna project. And there's a number of reasons we've talked with Charles about this, about why they want to build a project, but they need to find a way to finance it. And we've got a creative way of measure of getting there. So Charles, welcome back. It's been a long time.
Thank you. Yes, we've been a very quiet beginning to the year, but a very busy beginning to the year. And it's nice to have out this week the cause for that.
Yes. All right. So what you have proposed here and announced, it's a $20 million US dollar gold link debt facility. So maybe walk us through this deal, and because it's a fairly unique.
Yeah, you're seeing a couple of them being done in the industry. You know, I think I-80 Gold, West Red Lake, Denarius Metals are following this lead. If you want a significant proportion of equity, and in our case are on the doorstep of a production scenario, this is the most the least amount of equity dilution to advance your project materially. So we're taking on a debt facility, which you don't take on lightly, that has a 10% interest rate. We effectively give up the economics on between 11 and 12,000 ounces of gold from a bulk sample that will produce over 20,000 ounces of gold. And we issue 7% of the company in warrants, which is a much better outcome. I don't think it probably would be possible to raise 20 million US in equity on fair terms. And what that means for us is that we can complete the decline and the bulk sample, and the company will look to modify its permit and potentially turn this into steady state production going forward. So for the first time since we bought Annapolna in March last year, now we control our destiny to deliver a production outcome and the re-rating that comes from that from Annapolna.
All right. I guess the first question is, why do this debt facility instead of just going to the market and raising with equity?
Yeah. So if you wanted to raise 20 million US, we'd be giving up close to 40% of our company if you could do that. We want to take Annapolna into production and use that cash flow from Annapolna. Annapolna, if you boil it down to one thing, is incredibly, or has the potential to be, a very high margin ore body, you know, in the order of, for the first few years of mine life, $400 a ton rock at $100 a ton production costs. Now, that's a very forward-looking statement, but I'm speaking to a large-scale mine that can produce a significant amount of free cash flow. And so our intention is to get there with the least amount of shares issued. If you look, you know, we're all familiar with the Lassonde curve, and if anyone goes to our website and looks at what this can do for us, we've made a comparison to the typical Lassonde process. In the Lassonde curve is a share price curve, and our peer group on average doubles their share count from maiden resource to DFS, a single asset developers going into production, and they triple going from maiden resource to production, or sadly, some still aren't there. And so this allows us to get into the production scenario and the re-rate that comes with that without having to issue, you know, multiples of our share count now. So that's why we took this. We now don't need the market to deliver the production scenario. It's on us as a management team to deliver, which is exactly the situation that we want.
All right. So maybe let's walk through the terms of this deal. The facility, it's going to have a 10% per annum coupon, matures in 30 months. What's interesting here is the swaps. So you're expected to enter into those gold swaps with your lender, who basically remains anonymous compared to what I've read near the news release, with a gold price equal to the reference price of $1,850 per ounce. Charles, that's quite a leap from where we're at today in the spot price. How does that work out? Kind of walk us through this.
Yeah, so if you divide 20 million by 1850, you get just under 11,000 ounces. There's a couple of scenarios between sort of 11 and 12,000 ounces, give or take, that are still to be defined as the LOI turns into a definitive agreement. The 1850 floor price is what guarantee, you know, no matter what happens with the gold price, we can deliver the decline. We've got a commitment that if it's under 1850, we'll still get 1850 an ounce. In return for those ounces, we're giving up the upside of those to the lender. The lender's a large generalist asset manager that won't, you know, I think it's a high quality group that's well known in this sector. It's a generalist that comes in and out of the sector depending on interest and the cycle. So the way I think you can consider it is, you know, approximately 1% of the global resource will give up the economics for, and in return, we will have reached a production scenario with the potential for that to be steady state and then scale up to the 100,000 ounce a year production rate we'd like to go to. So I think on any metric, if you compare that to the long-term damage of issuing a royalty, the overhang and risk of making that a convertible note, or the permanent damage immediately of doing that as equity, we're betting on ourselves to deliver. I think we've started to build a track record of demonstrating that we can deliver since we bought Annapola, and we've got no future hooks on the project going forward beyond those 11 to 12,000 ounces once this is done.
Okay. So with the higher gold price here, with this deal, just let's bring it down to layman's terms here. Are you paying this, you're paying this debt facility off sooner?
We believe we will, but we've built a buffer. Okay. So we've taken, you know, no company should enter into debt lightly. We've been very conservative. For example, we're modeling a 4 meter a day development rate for the decline. It was going ahead at 5.5 to 7 meters a day. We anticipate to have this completed in 2 years. We've got an extra 6 months, even including that slower schedule. So there's a number of mitigations that we've put in place to do this that we think's prudent given the steps we take. And then if we continue forward beyond that scenario, if we modify the permit to allow continued production beyond there, then we're talking about very high margin material. We could potentially raise the equity portion of the build for the large mine by continuing this bulk sample process into steady state for 12 months. And that means we have the potential to deliver Mexico's next 100,000 ounce a year producer with very little equity dilution.
Okay. But the $500 difference that we have between this 1850 and where we're at now, so we're saying roughly 2350, we're actually 2370 as we talk here. But you're paying $500 difference per ounce every time you deliver that to the lender. That doesn't that decrease the time of the to I mean decrease the time to pay off this debt? And plus you're not, you know, you're taking on those interest payments as well. Am I looking at this wrong? I just wanted to get clarification here, because this is one big sticking point I saw. The 1850 really caught me off guard.
Yeah. So to be clear, it's capped at that 11 to 12,000 ounces. It doesn't exist. You know, we'll produce over 20,000 ounces, comfortably over 20,000 ounces in this decline. So it's insurance to make sure that we can deliver the project if there is an adverse move in the gold price. And yes, you give something up. As I said, there's a number of notes out there. You know, I-80, Denarius, West Red Lake that have done similar versions of this. It works in the sort of low to mid-20s depending in an interest rate, depending on what valuation you put on the warrants or what volatility you put into the Black-Scholes calculation for the warrants. So it's reasonably normal for this kind of investment in this space. And the attraction for us is we would rather do that and have it capped than enter into a far more value-destructive long-term NSR agreement. I think this is the best outcome that we can deliver for shareholders. We're going to own more of an asset that should trade at a much higher valuation upon completion of this, and we're not leaving permanent hooks in Annapola by doing it.
Okay. You firmly believe that getting this incline built is going to actually decrease the costs for further exploration at Annapola, since you'd be going underground here. You know, let's talk about long-term and what this, you know, this infrastructure at the project is going to provide for you and the team and what it means for shareholders.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a few benefits straight off the bat. The first is demonstrating and de-risking the project at a greater scale, you know, showing that infrastructure is completed, de-risking, showing the grade continuity. It's exceptional grade continuity at Annapola. So being able to demonstrate that with your hands on the ore body, demonstrating the metallurgy, at that bigger scale. I think they're huge de-risking steps. From a commercial aspect, you know, it's a bit of a false accounting. We do it with byproduct and co-product as well, but taking $15 million out of the ultimate capex is a nice thing to do as well. It reduces the next step up that we have to do to build the large scale mine. We clearly end up with a significant, our current shareholders owning a significant more amount more of the company and therefore the project as we get there. And then I think lastly, as you touched on, one of the more interesting next steps is we can obviously do the infill drilling from underground, saving us meters. It's not the biggest saving because it's a shallow ore body anyway, but I think maybe most tantalizing is we believe that we'll grow this resource to well over 1.5 million ounces. Like I think we can get to 1.5 fairly comfortably at better than 5 grams at a 60 meter wide average ore body with the next drill program. And all that will be above the level of the decline. But the reason Alio was pushing this decline in, and a reminder for people who don't know the story, there's already a 400 meter long, one third of a decline completed. The reason for completing that, they were going to do that, was because this resource is open at depth. You know, holes like 13 meters at 30 grams to 40 meters at 6 grams. And so as a function of the topography and the deeper drilling, you really need the decline to access that. So for the first time since we've owned Annapoola, we'll have a platform to test the depth extent of Annapoola. And the two closest ore bodies to us, you know, between sort of 15 and 20 million ounces each. So we're in a part of the world that creates big ore bodies. And the decline does give us the platform for that longer term growth drilling from next year on.
What about exploration drilling from the decline? You know, back in the fall, you mentioned new results from the parallel panel. I mean, really good grades. I mean, is that a little too far to access from where this is going to be, this decline? Or do you have any other targets that you could utilize this decline with in the future?
Yeah. So the first question is, it's not too far at all. The parallel panel is only 50 meters north of the main zone that we'll be driving into. So, but we're talking only 250 meters below surface. So we don't need the decline to drill the parallel panel and these new northern targets above it. But obviously, we'll utilize that once it's in to get more angles and lower cost as well. So, yes, we will use it for that, but we're not waiting for that to drill and continuing to grow the resource. So, you know, the two key things that we want to achieve this year with Annapoola is to have funded the pathway to production and bring forward the timeline to commercial production and then resource growth. So we've put piece one in place. Now we can move to look at piece two. We've got some funds put aside from the debt funding in the package to start that drill program. And I think that gets us underway in demonstrating what's possible there. We want to complete a PEA by the end of this year. We want to then do a resource update and use that updated resource that we think we can add at least a few hundred thousand ounces to drive the feasibility
for
study.
For the PEA?
No, so the PEA will be done on the resource we put out in November last year. Okay. And then we'll do an update on the resource and drive the feasibility study that follows the PEA.
Okay, game plan. All right. This is news I think a lot of us shareholders have been anticipating here, Charles, trying to figure out how you were going to fund it. You mentioned, I mean, it's been a long time since you've been on the podcast. And I think the last time in the winter, earlier this winter, you were talking about trying to find a way to finance this. And obviously, this is that news. Are we going to see a lot more news kind of hitting the tape here from Heliostar as this progresses?
Yeah, absolutely. You will. So, you know, I try to present news when it's material for the company, not just for the sake of presenting news. And unfortunately, that meant we had a quieter period at the start of the year. Mm-hmm. But I think this demonstrates that we weren't being quiet. We were being very active in the background. So now that we have, you know, effectively, we're not asking the market's permission to build Annapoola. We now can step forward and make that first significant step towards test mining with Annapoola. And shareholders can then come along, because the average mining company who produces gold trades at 4 times the free cash flow they deliver each year. And if you do some maths on what's possible, I can't lay it out without the PEA or a scoping study to demonstrate that. But we're potentially talking multiples in free cash flow each year than our market cap if we were to permit this into steady state, smaller scale production, let alone the re-rate that comes with building the larger mine. So now we control our destiny on that. And then the next thing is to demonstrate that Annapurna can continue to grow.
All right. Charles, good to connect with you once again. It's been far too long, but it sounds like we're going to have a lot of these conversations as the year progresses. Congratulations on getting this deal done. We'll be following closely. We'll talk to you again in a couple more weeks.
You will be. Thank you.
All right, everybody. That's your update from Heliostar Metals. They do trade on the Venture with HSTR and on the OTCQX with HSTXF. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.